Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
How are you diddling then? It's Sarah in for Scott this week. Hope you're well. From Vegas to Africa. Love that song. We've got Vegas. Ooh. Can I get a rewind? Just me chair. No kind of remix going on. You can ask Annie Mac if you want that kind of fancy shenanigans. She's on most Fridays. So, how are you? Yes, just love the... Go to Ibiza, Miami, Vegas, Africa. Like, which bit? Do you know what I mean? You can't go meet you in Africa. It's massive. It's a continent. Do you know what I mean? She don't care, that J-Lo. How are you then? Hope you're well. Hope this Thursday... Hang on. Is it... Wednesday, isn't it? Had an Anchorman moment there. It says Thursday there. Don't look so cheery about it, Chris. Did you do that?
No.
Who do I need to fire before half... Oh, one who doesn't speak. All right, he's kind of the boss of the show. I can't really fire him. Although we have had an interesting peek into the one who doesn't speak, Psyche, because he's the one who comes up with the titles for quizzes on this show. Yesterday we started off with a quiz which was called Invited or Not, which... wasn't very showbiz, but it did the trick. You know, it explained exactly what the quiz was about. Today we've got another quiz called Actual Names of Everyday Things. We were talking earlier on for another feature. We found out that he named all his pets. He had one pet called Snowy, because it was white. Not even Snowdrop, just Snowy. And he had a cat that was called... White paws, which is just so factually correct. There's no imagination there at all. White paw. Mummy, we've got the new cat. I want to call it Two Ears. No. Little child who doesn't speak much. You can't call it that. How about One Tail? No. Come up with some white paws. Okay, go on then. So I like to imagine you, and you always had like a little mini like three-piece suit on. Do you know what I mean? And a carnation in your buttonhole, and perhaps one of those clocks on a chain. Then you'd be a very somber child. Little did they know then that you'd grow up to run the Scott Mills Show. Anyway, so coming up, we have got our new quiz, Actual Names of Everyday Things. We'll do that in a while. Also, get a bit of royal in your life. We're going to make you feel right royal by the end of the show. It's exciting stuff. Hope you've had a nice day so far. I have did a bit of charity work earlier on. Don't really want to talk about it. I'm like that. No, go on then, I will. It's for DePaul UK, which is a homeless charity. And I went round and did some filming in one of the houses that they have to help out young people between the ages of 16 and 25. It was filming for the BBC, so I think I'm allowed to mention it. And one of the people that the charity have helped is a young lady called Hannah, who I interviewed this morning. So, hi, gorgeous girl, who's done very well for herself, and she's all sort of sorted now, which is good. Did arrive there, though, at the shelter, which was this lovely house that, you know, that people go there in emergency situations. And I was like, have you got a makeup artist? Well, I didn't know. I'd been told that there would be makeup there. I didn't want to kick up a fuss. I'm like, I'll have a skinny cappuccino, and who's doing my slap? And they're like, no one. So anyway, thank you very much to Rita for letting me borrow your bathroom. I went in there and just put a bit of slap on, and then it was all fine. It went very well. All good stuff. So that's what I did this morning. Then went home and saw my mother, because my mum is down in that the fancy London town for the week, which may seem odd because I'm working every day. And no, I didn't do it on purpose, because I'd love to be at home now with mother. But, you know, basically... About June last year, she asked me what we're doing at Christmas, to which I responded, I don't know, it's June. And then I reckon about September time, she was like, can I come down for a couple of days in April? And I'm like, yeah, whatever, of course you can. Last week, she's like, are you excited? I'm like, yep, what about? She's like, my visit. I'm like, yeah, I'm in for Scott, but it'll be brilliant. So it's been lovely hanging with my mama. I do like this song, but they clearly got like a 3-year-old to write the lyrics. It's like, the sun is shining every day. This is quite nice.
I'm not much of a fan.
No?
No. Sorry.
Gemma's here, by the way. BBC Radio 1. Always off on a positive note, huh, Gemma?
Killjoy.
I'm not a big fan, to be
honest. I reviewed it the other day on the review show, so I've got to stay true to my word, yeah.
No, good, yeah, you can't be like, hey, it's great,
yeah,
guys.
All of a sudden.
When you massive. And what percentage did you give it? Was this on Nahal's review show?
Yeah, I can't remember. It was in the 40s.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Even I know that's less than a half a Just before we crack on with your secret mission from Corrie yesterday.
Yeah.
I believe you have got a coronation treat
I'm
for
so
me.
I'm so excited.
Treat, I said treat, okay. Instead of treat.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, yeah, amazing.
All right, laugh after if you want. Laugh in your own time at me, gang. Now then, we were talking about the one who doesn't speak, who named his cat White Paws.
Right.
He was a very somber child who just pointed out the obvious and liked to be factually correct. And apparently, I stand corrected. There's lots of people who like factually correct names for their cats, so I do apologise. Matt in Kent has been on. My girlfriend had a cat called White Paws, he says quite menacingly. Okay, sorry. My cat's called Meow, says Gary off of Frimley, which isn't that factual. I think that's quite whimsical. You just have to stand on your back doorstep going, Meow, yourself, which is worrying. John the Trucker. I had a white rabbit called Snowy, a black Labrador called Blackie. Perfectly good names. Okay. Everyone's a bit cross with me. Lee and Dudley, my cat is called Angry Cat, which I like. Lofty on the way home, his cat's called Cat,
yeah,
which I like. And the best
good.
One, Ellie off of Leamington, her and her boyfriend's cat is called Catface. Which is brilliant. Ooh, let's look. What's going on in the cat? Well, it's got a face. It's a cat. It's quite a cattish face. It's a cat face.
Do you think that brilliant. Could end up happening to babies?
Yeah, maybe.
Cute like, baby.
Yeah, pink face. That's what babes have a bit. Is it doing a poo? Jones? Could be good. So, Gem, you went up on your secret mission. Well, it wasn't. It was just a trip up north to Manchester.
Yep.
You went to Coronation Street. You're a big fan of Corrie.
Yeah, I love Corrie. Everyone's grown up watching Corrie at some point in their lives.
Well, not everyone, you know. I was talking.
Really?
Well, this is what happened, you see. I've hooked up with some chancer from Hampstead.
Right.
You know, rough part of London
them,
for people who don't know. And him and his brother were saying, well, before he met me, he'd never seen Corrie, and his brother's never seen an episode of Corrie. And to me, that's like saying, you've never seen air, but no one's ever really seen air. Can't see it. But, you know, it's just like, no, I cannot compute that.
Have you converted him?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's kind of been like a forced conversion.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love it. And to be there on Coronation Street itself, on the cobbles, exciting.
Honestly, you can't underestimate the excitement at all. You think it's going to be wicked, but then when you see them and they're actually doing the scenes, it's unbelievable. And you see, like, fake walls and stuff. Like, they had this huge screen that was printed up and it had the cobbled street on it and pictures of the houses, and it looks like a real street, but it's not. You could almost walk into it.
I was going to say, you didn't like rip through it, did you? Like, get me out of this weird place.
Apparently once some burglars came and they tried to run out and they ran that way and smacked into the wall. I love that story. It's completely surreal.
Are you going to be able to watch it and enjoy it the same, or do you think it'll take a couple of episodes to get back into it and forget what you know?
I think I'll enjoy it even more. Just imagining myself hanging out in the Rover's Return, you know.
Okay, sad at that.
And I saw a girl doing a screen test to be a new character. I thought it was a bit out of order.
She
had long blonde hair. She was very sexy.
Oh.
I think she's going to be part of the Michelle Collins family because, you know, she's hopping over to Corrie.
Yes, she is. Cindy Beale and now going to be in Corrie. Is she going to be a Cockney in Corrie or is she going to...
I think she's going to be a Northerner.
Oh, nice.
How do you feel about that?
That's all right. Yeah. I can be accepting of that. By the way, if you're wondering who this Gemma lass is, she's on One Extra every day, sort of sandwiched between Trevor Nelson and Westwood.
Yeah, I realised that when I first started in January. I was like, what a weird sandwich to be in. But it's kind of nice. It's working out okay. Yeah, One Extra, 1 until 4. Just kind of jump into the telly box every now and then. Been to Hollyoaks.
Do lots of T4 stuff, don't you, as well?
Yeah.
That's where you might know Gemma from as well.
I did a series called Frock Me with Alexa Chung and Henry Holland.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so, you know, all sorts.
Hey, so, well, that's Gemma. That was Corrie. It's all loads of stuff online. Lots of pictures and bits of videos.
We missed
and
you,
stuff
actually.
Like that. I know, I was supposed to be up there, but the one who doesn't speak's got a lot of allergies. He can't go up north. We were doing this show. We're really getting it today. He's going to smack me one. I'm going to get a viral bone top of my massive forehead in a minute.
Is he that menacing? Wow, he's so smiley, is Emily.
I know, but behind the smile lies a dark pit of anger.
Whoa.
So, not really.
The other side, Radio 1.
So I asked you yesterday not to bother nicking me a beer, Matt, because I'd got them through my... through my connections with Anthony Cotton, a very good friend of mine, who plays Sean. He'd got me a couple of beer mats.
Okay.
I, like, swapped him for, like, a gold disc on Radio 1. That's what happens in showbiz. You, like, swap stuff, like... So you were going to get me...
Yeah, you were so disgruntled by the option that I decided to take it a step further. And I was like, Sarah Cox, she's a ledge. I'm going to just do it. I'm going to do it. So I ran in to Roy's Rolls and nabbed something and just ran. I left Manchester very swiftly. So hopefully my career is still going to be all right. But if not, it's okay. For you, Coxie.
Let's see. Oh, wow! You got me an actual placemat from Royals Rolls. Come on! Royals Rolls!
How good is that? Sorry.
Number 16, Victoria Street, Weatherfield. It says Roy's Rolls Cafe. And there's a picture of a steam train because Roy loves steam trains.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
I thought it was just going to be a pasty. I thought I'll have to eat the evidence. I'm quite excited. Oh, that is amazing.
Isn't it amazing?
I'm going to put it up above mine and Ben's bed.
Sexy.
Get me in the room. Look at us see. Woo woo.
Just thinking about Roy's Rolls.
Next stop, Passion Town. No, poor man. I won't do that. Oh, that is beautiful, though, Gemma. Thank you.
You're absolutely
I'm
welcome.
I'm genuinely thrilled. It's a beautiful thing.
Good.
I should do a picture. They still have webcams in here. They'll do a nice picture. Lovely to see you, my
Thank
darling.
Thank you for having me on,
as
yeah.
always.
You can check out all the pictures online and you can listen again to the show. I spoke to loads of people. Don't ask me to reel them all off. Spoke to your mate Anthony Cotton. He was lovely.
Really good crew up there. A lot of the crew
lovely.
quite young and sort of just love it. And they love Radio 1 and 1X as well.
Catherine,
so
who plays
nice.
Becky, so beautiful.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
We think she might go to EastEnders.
Oh no!
She revealed that she's leaving, and she revealed that she's looking for new work and could be directing herself.
So Catherine
in that way.
Kelly playing Becky,
yeah.
But then see, I can see her going off and doing lots of big proper
films
one-off
and
dramas and
oh,
things,
yeah.
And like big old, you know. Nice to see her in a corset.
Yeah.
Same with Norris. No, not really. But, you know, I can imagine in a big corset busting kind of like thing.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But I loved her. Yeah, they were all fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you to the Corrie crew for looking after our Gemma. Oh. I wish I could have been there. And always lovely to see you, my darling.
You too.
We must go out with Annie Mac and recreate our Brits magic at some point.
I don't ever want to think about that
now. No, no.
You were very good fun, Sarah. That's all I can say.
Yeah, good fun. Okay, lovely to see you, babe.
Bye-bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
We've got to take a picture. We took a picture of me and Gemma and the little placemat from Roy's Rolls, which I'm very excited about. It's got a cork good back on it, which I like. Not in me men, just in me placemat. Ooh, give him a cuddle. Ooh, is your back made of cork? And the good thing is about that is that I can stick it to me loo wall. I think me downstairs loo be nice, that bit of blue tack and that, so you know. No more nails, which I saw an advert for. Ooh. And I'm sure there's lots of other alternatives to nails. But basically, Ben was threatening to do a bit of DIY around the house and I was a bit alarmed that he was going to be drilling through walls and things. So I was trying to show him a vast array of different glue alternatives. Anyway, we'll put that picture up online. Thank you very much to Gemma. Always good vibes, Miss Kearney is. If you'd like to go to bbc.co.uk/1extra, you can see what all the fuss is about. She's a top lass and there's lots of stuff there from Cozza as well. So the picture's up there online of myself and Gemma. Oh, is it not quite up there yet? They didn't fill me with confidence the way he did that sort of wiggly finger at me like, Don't start doing the dance to the record of the week just yet, Chris. We've got to do the push-down golden retriever dance only when we pay toddler tea, OK? So that's coming up at some point. So we're trying to... What happened? Did you not send it off, Chris?
It takes time.
Okay. Computer says slow and it's going to be a while, but then it'll be up there. Picture of me and Gemma Kearney off of 1Extra holding aloft a Roy's Rolls steam train engine placemat. It looks like we did it like just before we sent Gemma home from the Brits at like 4 a.m. Like my hair's on sideways and she's going and I'm like aah. But it's, I assure you, we just took it just now and no alcohol has been taken. So got my mother down visiting. You know what? I must say, our Jackie, all 4 foot 11 of her, she's no trouble at all. You hardly know she's pocket sized. You hardly know she's there. And she comes down and she just chills out. And I must admit, because she lives up in Bolton normally, it sort of highlights it just how nice it'd be to have my mum just round the corner where I could... I know it'll happen soon enough when I have convert my garage into a little granny flat for her and the mother-in-law, and they'll both live there with all the royal memorabilia from the wedding that's happening this Friday. That's what I've got planned for them. But in the meantime, it's nice having my mum about and stuff, and the kids love having her down. Because she's similar height to the three-year-old. No, she's not. She's just petite. So we're having a lovely time. So I'm glad my mum's there. And I'm also pleased because she manages to do Houseplant 999, which I'm thinking of pitching the idea to ITV2. Can you two just, like, look at me while I'm talking live on the radio? Because it kind of feels like I'm broadcasting live from, like, some sort of IT support group or something. You're both completely ignoring me and typing away. And I'm going, like, hello, is this on? Yeah. Right, OK, you both listening now? OK, very good, Chris. Are you going to laugh when I say stuff?
Yeah.
I've gone pink now. That was that a bit hormonal, that outburst? But I did look up and could just see the tops of your head. I get enough of that at home with iPad boy. Do you know what I mean? Okay, Ben. So, anyway, my mum's down and she's taken my houseplants. Now I'm embarrassed because, like, I'm talking about houseplants and I've made you look at me. Anyway, she's rescuing my house plans, and I just thought it was an idea that I could pitch to a TV station about my mum, Jackie, rescuing my house plants because she sort of stands them in water instead of tipping water into them, and there's loads of brown bits on the plants, and she's got my kitchen scissors and cut them off, and she's kind of bringing them back to life. So I was thinking Houseplant 999, I could be the presenter. And, you know, because we could do a close-up of my mum with some kitchen scissors, and it could be like, Jackie's been called to look at a rubber plant with the droops. Do you know what I mean? And my mum's there, pass me them scissors, and she's there cutting it up and stuff. And I could do, like, all the serious voiceover and interviewer and stuff, like, what do you think, Jackie, is the hope for this busy Lizzie? And she can say something like that will become like a catchphrase around the country, like, let's get busy with this Lizzie. Or like, this peace Lily, looking too peaceful for me because it's nearly dead. Let's bring it back to life. Do you know what I mean? Houseplant 999. Look, it needs some work, all right? Shut up. BBC Radio 1. So, following on from the revelation that the one of the most creative men at work in radio today, the one who doesn't speak, when he was a child, he had a bit of way to go with coming up with fun names for things, and he's not got much better, actually, despite obviously having the brain of someone mad and funny. We're going to play the game Actual Names for an Everyday Thing very soon, but following on from the shocking revelation that his cat was called White Paws when he was growing up, because it's factually correct, it did have white paws. The cat had white paws. So let's speak to Damon. Hello.
Hello, you
all. Hello, Dale. You got a live one here, Damon. How are you, my darling?
I'm fandabadoozy.
Very good. And what's the story about your friend's pet?
Basically, as far as cats go, because they're usually quite clever, this one's quite stupid.
Right.
And they reckon it probably thinks it's a dog or something because it chases its tail and it's basically just a stupid cat. So they thought they'd call it Stupid. And it's not that bad. It is funny when they take him to the vets, though, because they call you in by the pet's name. So while everyone else is there, they're calling, you know, Steve the dog or whatever. They go, Stupid.
Yeah, hang on a minute. Your example, well, you know, like Steve the dog. No, that's a daft name as well.
Well, my mate's got a dog called Steve, so it's not that daft.
Wow, Steve the dog. Has Steve the dog ever met Stupid the cat?
As far as I'm aware, no.
Okay. So, yeah, so when the veterinary nurse comes out and has to shout, Stupid...
Pretty much, yeah. Or if she has to call the cat in towards the end of the night, she has to stand out and all the neighbours can hear her going, Stupid! Stupid!
Bless. I suppose the cat doesn't know what it's answering to, really.
It does.
Oh, no, I mean, well, I think if you shout anything at a cat but you use your intonation the same, so you could say Stupid or you could say Cupid or you could say Monkey, it'd still come. Or do you reckon that it knows? Do you reckon it knows the meaning of the word stupid?
Probably not. It's too stupid.
Yeah, no, good point. That's how it got its name. That was after me to even question that. Fair point, well made there, Damon. How's Lichfield looking today?
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. It's a bit quiet at the moment. Just chilling in the garden, having a beer, then out for a messy one later.
Oh, nice. So just a quick beer at 10 to 5. Have you been working today, Damon?
No, no, it's my day off, so I'm taking advantage of it.
Good for you. Bet you work hard. What do you do normally?
I'm a chef.
Oh, are you? Yeah. What, like down at a pub or a fancy restaurant?
Yeah, I've just started at a lovely little pub run by a lovely Irish bloke who's a bit mad, so it's all good fun.
Excellent stuff. And who's doing the cooking today?
The head chef today.
Oh, right. Are you a sous chef?
Pretty much at the moment there, yeah.
Yeah. Don't really know what it means to start. I'd ask it. I've heard it on telly. Sous chef.
Everyone knows.
Yeah, I always think that it means they're in charge of, like, the choux pastry. And I always think there can't be that much coffee in the kitchen. Is that all they do, is the choux pastry? But I don't think that's what happens.
I don't know. Silly, fancy French names. God knows.
I don't know. Right, Damon, put your beer down. Do you want to get quizzy with me?
Go on, then.
Let's do it. Here we go. Let's play actual name for an everyday thing. The clue's in the title. I'm going to say a name of something. It does exist. It's the real name of something. We've just got to work out what it is. It's something that's in our everyday life.
I'm going to be no good at this. Go on.
I know. Well, I don't think I'm not brimming with confidence for either of us, if I'm honest. how many Scott Mills points do you currently have, Damon? How many Scott Mills points do you currently have from playing along with Scott's games normally?
Zero at the moment.
Zero, okay, well, it's all to play for then.
Maybe even minus, I'm not sure.
Oh, dear. Well, listen, if you get 3 points for everybody, well, everyone listening at home, you can get 3 points for each correctly answered question. And if you get 12 points altogether, Damon, you get 6 wine tumblers.
Sounds good.
Excellent, here we go. So, big chance here to win some points. Let's have the first one then. Here's the first real name of an everyday thing.
Tittle.
Oh.
Tittle.
Tittle.
Tittle, is that the dot above an eye?
Is it what, the dot above an eye? I think it's when someone tickles your boobs, isn't it?
I thought you said tittle.
I did.
Tittle.
Maybe that's what it is. Oh, is it how northerners say that little one? Tittle one over there. That's what they do. Is it bigger? No, it's tittling. Like that. And you think it's the what, Damon?
Well, I thought you said tittle, not tickle. So
no, it is tittle. You're right. T-I-double-T-L-E.
The dot above the eye is called a tittle. I'm going to go with that. I'm confident with that.
Wow, you're amazing.
It's not an everyday thing, but I'm sticking with it.
Let's see if you're right.
The dot over an eye... or a J.
Wow!
There we go.
Amazing stuff, Damon. You're doing very well, so 3 points to you. Here we go, next one.
For rule.
For rule, for real. Is it like hip-hop speak? For like, you know, for rule.
It sounds pretty hip-hop to me. It sounds pretty ghetto to me.
It does, doesn't it? Like Lichfield ghetto, like, yeah, Damon, you from Lichfield, for rule. For real, for shizzle, millizzle, which is Lichfield.
I've got no idea.
A feral. It's a bit like feral, maybe. Feral, a feral.
I don't know. I'm just going to go with a female ferret. I don't know.
A female ferret, you say?
Yeah, everyone's got one of them.
Well, everyone's got one. Like toes or eyes or something. Female.
Exactly.
A ferule. I just keep seeing the word ferule and just thinking about a furry ruler. But nobody has one of them, do they? Apart from me, because we were that poor. My ruler were mouldy. I'm going to copy you. Female ferret.
The metal part of a pencil.
Oh, nice.
Oh, what, like the rim bit at the top that holds the rubber? Why, for rule? Wow, you're gonna be a while down at the next pencil AGM.
You learn something new every day, so.
Next one then.
Gynecomastia.
Oh, a gynecomastia. Is that a gynecologist who does a forward flip before continuing the examination? Because it sounds like
a gynecologist who also works in a circus.
Let's see. So many wrong connotations. I hope he's not a clown. That'd be really off-putting. Wouldn't it be worse? You turned up to your gynae on there, you know, the usual lady examination, and he's got full clown makeup on. Just relax. You know what? I'm training to be in the circus. Oh, no. Let's see.
Moobs.
I trust him.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Moobs.
Oh, moobs. So men's boobs. Yeah, man boobs.
I'd go with man boobs.
Well, you said it. Let's see what the next one is. I imagine you're taut and ripped up there anyway, Damon. And you don't suffer with gynecomas. Here we go. Next one.
Morton's toe.
Morton's toe. Oh, hang on a minute. I've heard that.
I don't know, club foot or something.
No, I don't think it is that affliction. Oh. Morton's toe. Is it somewhere in Cumbria? Is that where we're coming live from in the Carlisle when we do Carlisle's Big Weekend? Live from
Morton's toe.
It's Radio 1's Big Weekend.
It's got a ring to it.
Let's see.
When your second toe is longer than your big toe.
Oh!
I told you, club foot.
Yeah, no, that's something very different and not really a place we should go to for humour, so we'll move on. Let's have a listen. Final one.
Desire path.
A desire path. Oh, it's been a while. It's grown over my desire path. It is. The council have come down and clear. It's been used as a tip. Let's see the desire path. You stay late, the one who doesn't speak for any complaints. Desire path, let me think. Is it like when you have the stairway to heaven on a man's belly made of hair? Is the desire path a bit in between a lady's boobs?
Someone's naughty bits.
Someone's naughty bits. That's what David's going with that. There we go. I think desire path. Is she playing at Big Weekend? And she's called Desire Path. Desire Path. Any idea, Damon? Keep it clean.
I have no idea whatsoever.
A Desire Path. Maybe it's some kind of confectionery. I'll have two Desire Paths and a custard tart. I don't know. I give up on this one. Let's see.
A path created by natural means. Simply because it is the shortest, almost easily navigated way.
Oh, that's beautiful!
Makes sense now.
So those bits at the park where you always see they're slightly worn away and it's because people are cutting across for a cappuccino or the loo or whatever, and it's a desire path.
Exactly.
That's beautiful. I'm going to try and use that every day, guys, at work and stuff. Desire path. Morton's toe and gynecomas. Try and use that at the office tomorrow and at work and school.
I will try.
Just try your best.
I'll drop them in.
Darling, enjoy the pub later, Damon. Lovely to chat to you. Thank you.
And you.
Bye.
Bye.
Could be good, Radio 1's Big Weekend live from
Morton's Toe.
Featuring
Desire Path.
And on A New Music We Trust.
Gynecomastia.
Sorry, I don't know why that's making me laugh so much. And for one night only.
Tittle.
All right, I'll stop it. Podcast. Remember in MasterChef the other night, well confused me, where they'd been cooking some food for the bride and groom at a wedding. And one of the little traditions, it's sort of an Aussie tradition, they do it in parts of Canada as well, and apparently it's quite annoying after a while for the bride and groom and for the people present, is that when you ring these little bells that are on the table, eventually everybody starts joining in, ringing the little bells. And the bride and groom have to kiss. And then everyone goes, yay. We talked about it yesterday quite a bit. There we go. Presume that they kissed at that point. Everyone went, yay. It's quite annoying. We were looking at other wedding traditions. So I just thought it'd be nice, give you a heads up on the way. We've got more different sort of wedding traditions from around the world if you're looking for inspiration for your own big day, if it's coming very soon. If you want to put a bit of a royal twist on your wedding as well, we're coming up with royal names. It's quite easy. You can play along at all as well, or in your car on your way back from work, come up with what your name would be if you were a lord or indeed a lady. The other good tradition as well for the wedding, which you can do this if you're getting married soon. One of the traditions in Sweden was that when the groom left the room, all the boys could kiss the bride. And when the bride left the room, all the girls could kiss the groom. So just putting it out there that if you're getting married and he's a nice guy in that, you know, a great personality and like, you know, you love him. But if he's got really fit mates, then try and persuade him to do this Swedish one, because then when he leaves the room, all his mates get to, like, jump on you and snog you all over the shop. So just start planting seeds about, you know, maybe take him to IKEA and be like, I love Swedish things, me, you know. You know, maybe give him, like, one of them hot dogs and that that they eat over there, and perhaps incorporate it into a bit of sexy time and then spring it on him, the Swedish idea, bit of a slant to go for it at your own big day. If that one doesn't appeal, we've got lots of other suggestions, don't worry.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast.
I like this from Martin. Hello, dear. How do it go? What's happening? Well, mine's just kind of relaxed, you know what I mean? It's like touch. I'm just doing radio, really. Just gone 5:15. I'm in for Scott this week. Nice, job's good. I'll be doing my Sunday show Sunday from 10 tonight. My mum's down, we might go out for a cuzza. Might order one in, don't know, really. Depends how I feel when I get home. I'm not driving tonight because they needed the car for the school run, so I might get a cab home. I'm not driving tonight. Might get lashed for the last hour. Are you up for it, guys? Whoa! As she creaks her swivel chair with excitement. That ruined it a moment then. It's like my hip. I'll oil my hip and then we'll go down the pub. So, yeah, that's what's happening, Martin. Oh, good, thank you. Emily in Derby. I still maintain we should ring her and make it really awkward. Emily's listening to us now in the cinema because the film Beastly is that bad that she's just listening. Hang on a minute, I don't come out of that well either, do I? It's an amazing film, but she still needs to listen to me. Yes. Not really, she says it's terrible. She's silently listening to the show. Hi, Emily. We should ring her. Make her prove that she's in the cinema, like rub popcorn on the mouthpiece or something.
BBC
Radio 1.
That was Open Your Eyes from Alex Metrick and Steve Angelo. It's Radio 1, it's Sarah Cox in for Scott this week. Hope you're well. It's 5:26. So, in Canada and Australia, they love... I thought it'd be summer. I don't know, I think it's quite a dainty thing for the Aussies to do. I thought it'd be a bit more... physical. You know, they ring little bells to make the bride and groom kiss. I thought it might have been, I don't know, just kind of like, you know, throw the bride at the groom like a rugby ball or something and then they have to kiss. Or just do something a little bit more physical. But they tinkle a little bell and the bride and groom have to kiss. They do it in Canada as well. So we thought it'd be nice to go through some various traditions from weddings around the world. And we have got a bride waiting online one. As long as she's pulled over, which I'm presuming hopefully by this point she should have done. Hello. Are you there, Michelle? Michelle?
Hello.
Hi, darling. Have you pulled over all nice and safe?
Yes.
All right, OK. Are you telling me the truth?
No.
I knew you
nearly,
had...
I'm lying on that now. I'm nearly there. I'm just seeing the lay-by and I'm pulling over now.
All right, then. OK, we'll give you a couple of seconds to do that safely. She was a rubbish liar. At least her groom-to-be knows that she's a nice, honest girl, because she was like, yes? Have you really? No. She should have pulled over in a second. I'm going, this is it's not really a game. It's more like just trying to add a bit of spark to a big day. You know, we're going to travel around the world and just look at all the different traditions that are there. I can't string it out that much longer, to be honest, although we have got some amazing German music coming up. Are you there, Michelle?
Pulled over now.
Have you really?
Yeah, I promise.
Okay, Cal's good girl, my darling. Let me turn you up a little bit because you're a little quiet. Where are you, Michelle? Well, obviously in your car. she was on a roller skate. I'm just pulling over.
I'm in North Devon.
Beautiful part of the world. And when are you getting married?
I'm getting married next June.
Okay, and is it to a boy?
It certainly is, yeah.
Oh, should I say a man?
He's definitely a man.
He's all man. What's his name?
His name is Mark Smith.
Mark Smith. Are you changing your name to Smith?
Well, yeah. I'm currently a guest, but it's, you know, toss up really. Neither are any good, so I'll go for Smith.
What are you currently?
Guest.
Guest, as in guest of honour?
Absolutely.
Right, okay, Michelle Guest or Michelle Smith. Yeah, they're all right. It's quite nice to take it. It's quite nice. Or you could be Guest Smith, maybe, if you went for a double barrel Smith Guest. No, maybe not. Are you having a big do? How many people are coming?
We're having about 60 to 70.
Nice, nice. And are you having a finger buffet or a big sit-down do?
Well, it sounds a bit posh. We're having a gourmet barbecue because we're getting married outside.
Oh, gourmet barbecue.
Yeah, it sounds posh, that, doesn't it?
What, like sort of fancy sausages and stuff and like venison and like sort of haunch of goose and stuff?
No, I think it just means they'll cut the crust off the finger
buses. Oh, no, that is posh. That is posh. So it's June next year. So you're in the middle of organising it all now, are you?
Yeah, we are.
OK. Now, before you do all your final decisions, we have some suggestions for the maybe something you could chuck in there from around the world. Are you ready?
I'm all ears.
Here we go. So, Michelle, maybe you could go for a German tradition of... well, I've not listened to these myself, so they're all lined up. There's one that's only 1 second. What is that? Oh, here we go. That says just says Germany, does it? OK. Let me get the correct music. So, here we go.
Germany.
Germany, very good.
A German bride and groom take part in a traditional log-sawing ceremony.
Oh, were you thinking about having any logs at your wedding or any saws?
Never know.
Never know. Are you quite a muscly build, Michelle?
No, I'm not, but Mark's all right. I think he'd do some damage with a saw.
OK. Does get on with your family all right, doesn't he? We don't want him running riot. Let's see.
After the wedding, a log is positioned between the happy couple and, using a large saw, they must work together to saw it in half.
Wow. So is it one of those fancy sort of double-ended saws where you've got a handle at each end and you've both got a... Do you fancy that? You'll get a bit sweaty. Your makeup might run a bit.
Yeah, it could do. I mean, it doesn't bode well with glasses of champagne. I might not be much caught.
No, let's see.
This ritual is designed to offer an insight into how well the couple will get on with each other during the marriage.
Hang on.
Oh, what's going on there? You all right there, Michelle?
Yeah, I'm good.
What was happening? What was that voice?
They just asked me to turn my hands free off.
Oh. Who did?
Not from your end.
Oh, not from our end?
Yeah, from your end.
Did we?
A nice man just popped on.
Oh, is it Chris? Look at him stood in live lounge. Okay. Why did you do that, Chris? Because, what, we're muffly? Well, maybe we like being muffly. Maybe muffly's Michelle's thing. Are you on your handpiece now?
Yeah, I am, but I'm not very technical. I don't know how to turn it off.
Oh, it's all right. We'll crack on. Chris, go and do a bit of dusting or something, love, all right? Keep your nose will do, he says in me. Off he goes. We're not going to go for the German log sawing, are we?
No.
OK, let's continue our journey around the world as we go north to...
Scotland.
North of Germany, yes, wicked. And here's a Scottish tradition.
Many Scottish weddings are preceded by a tradition called blackening the bride.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dear.
What's this? Let's crash on with it before the complaints quite rightly roll in.
The bride is taken by surprise.
Oh.
The congregation cover her with foul substances, such as eggs, various sauces, feathers, and anything else, really, that happens to be lying around. She's then paraded around the town.
That is horrible. If you live in Scotland, have you ever seen that happen? Where the bride gets covered in eggs, sauces, feathers and flour and paraded around the town. You're not up for that one, I'm presuming?
No, not particularly, no.
Although if you were peckish, no, still, you can't be going licking it off yourself. Let's now go south and to south of America.
Mexico.
Yeah, wicked. Here we are.
At a wedding reception in Mexico, the guests form a...
Oh, hang on a minute. Have we got some Mexican music? I've sort of got... Sorry, this is dragging on a bit, but I'm loving the Mexican music. Here we go. Are you feeling this, Michelle?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm in Mexico.
You are in...
Mexico.
Yes. Just relax and imagine this at your wedding. Your great auntie Pauline's there and Mark's brothers and mothers are just stood at the side of the wedding as this happens.
At a wedding reception in Mexico, the guests form a circle around the couple in the shape of a heart.
Oh, no, this is lovely.
Oh, this is nice.
This is the first one that's really struck a chord, isn't it? So they all form a circle that forms a heart around the couple.
The newlyweds take their first dance within this circle of love. Aw.
That is a really sweet one.
Yeah, do you think
it might take a bit of organising?
Yeah, possibly. But I think that'll be nice.
All right, Mexico is winning so far. Let's see.
India,
there we go. Let's put the music back on there.
As part of Indian weddings, the groom has to take off his shoes as he approaches the altar.
Nice.
Members of the bride's family then try to steal the shoes while the groom's party try to protect them.
That's amazing.
I'm from up north. My side would definitely win.
What are we trying to steal the shoes? It could descend into chaos, couldn't it? And plus, I'm presuming Mark will have some new shoes. I mean, and then what happens if they do get nicked successfully? Do they have to go in his stocking feet for the rest of the bash? Let's see.
If the shoes are captured by the bridal party, the groom must pay to get the shoes back at a price decided by the triumphant family.
Wow, massive. What do you think? What price will they put on his shoes, do you think?
Oh, well, his feet aren't that big, so if it's by size, not a lot, really.
What size feet has he got?
Size 8.
And you're still going to marry him? No, I'm sure he's lovely. I'm sure it's not true what they say. Well, it was lovely chatting to you, Michelle. Thank you so much and best of luck with your marriage to the lovely Mark.
Oh, thanks, Sarah.
Thanks. Hope you took some inspiration.
I did.
Possibly not. Yeah, you're like, yeah, of course I did, love. You're mad. Bye.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Radio 1.
Arctic Monkeys. Don't sit down because I've moved your chair. Is that it? I'm sounding quite serious. I've just had a chat with Chris about chatting to callers. And it was nice, though, wasn't I? I started off with a positive. I'm trying to learn how to be, like, good in the workplace and stuff. Was that encouraging how I put it?
Felt good.
Weirdo. I was like, firstly, I love you and your great vibes in studio. Second, don't ever do that again. Ever. Good. There we go. Get back to it. I've already told you off today. I've told you that's twice earlier on when I went, why isn't the photo up online? Get onto it. And then 2 seconds later, I went, stop using the computer. Which is like, you know, one can't happen without the other, really. So, a lot of people who live in and around Scotland sort of say, never heard of this blackening the bride thing. It doesn't happen and stuff. But however, there's a pocket just near Aberdeen where everyone's like, oh, yes, we love it. Louise in Aberdeen says the blackening of the bride takes place usually a week before the wedding. The groom can be blackened too. If you have just tuned in, it's where they get sort of horrible gunk sort of thrown over them and what do they say, like flour and feathers and just disgusting stuff and eggs and ugh. So basically, it's like being gunked or something, isn't it? It's a little bit crackerjack, like what my mum used to watch. Not me, like, because I'm like barely nudging 24. Blackening the bride is the funniest thing ever. It's disgusting. My sister was covered in fish guts and then driven round town in the back of a pickup. Says Kieran. It just does. You know what? Just doesn't say glamour to me. Does not. I don't think we'll see Kate Middleton around Buckinghamshire anytime soon with fish guts in her hair in the back of like an AA truck. You know what I mean? No, it's just not going to happen.
BBC.
I love that Matt Fincham has sent an email round to the whole of the BBC asking for some string. What's he up to up there? I think it's quite 50s. Anyone's got some string, brown paper, powdered egg and a monocle, then go and find Mr. Matthew Fincham. Thank you. So Ciara's been on. Is she from Aberdeen? Yeah, she's from Aberdeen. She sent us a picture of her friend and her friend's then-husband. I don't know. Were they being blackened? There they go. And it must be before the wedding. That can't be on the wedding day. Oh, that's just too horrific. So I imagine that is somewhere in Aberdeen. They've just completely covered in filth and gunk and are cling filmed to a lamppost, like back-to-back cling filmed. It's just really disgusting. It's just can't catch on, can it? Thank you. And maybe it's bad luck. Do you know what I mean? What happened to them? Not that I know. So maybe everything's fine. Phew.
Podcast.
Just before Newsbeat, if you have just tuned in, by the way, it's all been going on here at Radio 1.
B-B-C.
Radio 1.
Well, the latest is Dish, Dish, Dish. Matt Fincham sent me an email asking for some string. Woo! Off of the 50s. Where's some string? I don't know quite what he's doing with it up there. Anyway, Ben in Reading's got some string. So is T on the text who says, hey, lovely Sarah. Delicious to have you back. Thank you. Please let Matt Fincham know I have got some string, but it may be Tuesday before I can get it posted to him, what with all the bank holidays. Thanks for letting us know, T. So as part of my research into the show, I was flicking through Heat magazine whilst listening to a great edition of Newsbeat. I stumbled upon a brilliant picture of Fern Cotton doing a boomf chin at our esteemed leader and boss, Andy Parfitt, and he in return is going boomf, and she's flicking the V's at the boss. Them were the days, get away with that kind of banter with Andy. I'm not going to try it. But it's a brilliant picture. It's in the Hoop of Horror. Fern's gesticulation and just Andy's chin. I've got in the hoops there to highlight the thing about the photo. I'm a little bit worried about Fern. We got through an email about Fern that tomorrow from 10, she's broadcasting live from the Mall right opposite Buckingham Palace. That's tomorrow. Thursday the 28th tomorrow, isn't it? I'm not telling her that the wedding's on Friday. Why is she there tomorrow? She's going to go bananas when she gets down there. I know she's mild-mannered and veggie and all that, but when she blows... Oh, it's the build-up. I didn't mean the rest of it. It's the build-up ahead of Friday's royal wedding. Phew, thought she was going to turn up with her best court shoes on and a matching handbag. I'd be furious. Matt Edmondson is going to be there, running around, talking to everybody, and already bagsying their place ahead of the big day. So lots of cookie, crazy people who'll be wearing Union Jack clothing with Kate and Wills and sort of, you know, those strange sort of knocked-off merchandise. That they'll be wearing proudly and saying stuff like, I think it'll last forever, I'm really happy for them, and stuff like that. And I imagine lots of Tories types as well will be knocking about. So the action tomorrow kicks off from 10 a.m. on Radio 1 with the delightful radio royalty that is Ferny Cotton. There we go, Friendly Fires on Radio 1. Live those days tonight. It really put me off when I first played out of that song. It sounded like I'd gone in some weird news junction on, like, American News. Coming up tonight, we find out what your posh royal name is. Only on Tonight with me. Tonight. You know what I mean? Is it just me? Do you not think it sounds like... Have you ever tripped over your rabbit? That's what we're looking into tonight with me, Sherry J. Cox. Tonight. It's brilliant, isn't it? And then it goes into, this squeaky chair. Do you know what? You pay your licence fee. I want to promise you, we don't squander it on chairs. Look, if I lean back, I could fall through that crack or at least get stuck in it for a bit. And if I dare to move... Do that. Sorry, I was glaring at you menacingly while thrusting around on a swivel chair. I'm still not cross with you, Chris. Chris thinks I'm cross, but I'm not. It's fine. Coming up, we could do that. Coming up on tonight's edition of Chris Cross. Am I cross with Chris? No, I'm not. That's all tonight. Sorry, I'll stop that now. So, anyway, I digress. If you've got a name that ain't that posh, if you called something like Bob Brown, then don't worry, we can well posh it up with our special Poshulator. That's what I've named it. Knocking about on Twitter and on Facebook, it's out to get your proper posh royal wedding name so you can get invited maybe on Friday. So what you simply do is you get the name of one of your grandparents. You start it off with lady or lord, depending on your sex. So it's the name of one of your grandparents. And then you have the name of your first pet and then the name of the road where you grew up on. A little bit of artistic license is allowed. I think you do knock off street or avenue or whatever because it just ruins it a bit. Oh, there we go. So from Twitter, we had Heather on Twitter. Her name was Lady Alice Alma Sherman Cassada. Isn't that nice? Which means they had a pet called Alma, which is amazing. Robin on Twitter, Robin with a Y, says, my royal wedding name is Lady Elizabeth Casper Croft of Atherstone. Oh, very nice. Francesca is Lady Winifred Coco Bartholomew. Now, that is pretty good and pretty sort of cool and modern sounding as well. So it's you add lady or lord, and then you do the name of a grandparent, the name of your first pet, and the name of the road where you were brought up. Yours is quite a good one, who doesn't speak. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Lord Sydney Snowy Portland. Very good. I got onto Annie Mac, radio royalty herself, top princess, dance princess. Please be upstanding for Lady Doris Bonnie Wesley Lawns, which is good. Doris Bonnie Wesley Lawns. Bonnie was a rabbit, I believe. Doris was a grandma, or as she put it, Granny Mac, which is, she was hot on the ones and twos back in the day. And where's mine? It's rubbish. Oh, where you up? Becky's been on. Hey, gorgeous. Please welcome Lady Judith Flash Broadway. Wow. A couple of nights there, I've seen her flash on Broadway. I have to write my... Oh, here we go. This is mine. Mine doesn't work. It starts off strong and ends up quite sort of common sounding. Ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding for Lady Anne... Good start. Lady Anne Spud Tong. Spud Tong. It sounds like someone Baldwick could date off of Blackadder, doesn't it? I've got a date with Lady Anne Spud Tong. Thank you. As we welcome some of our listeners through the great oak doors of Radio 1, past the broken chairs and empty polystyrene cups. Kate from Stratford said, yes, mine doesn't really work. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Lady Daisy Sausage Dark. Okay, so basically you have to get have to add a lady or a lord. You've got to say one of your grandparents' name, your first pet, and then the road on which you grew up. Please welcome Lord John Jiggy Coast Guards. Which is brilliant. Getting jiggy with it. Hello to Dennis and Alex on the way to Bath, a.k.a. Lord Francis Munchie Columba and Lord Richard Pudder Nanceroy. Craig Lee in Coventry, also known as Lord Ellis Bingo Edgehill. That's quite good. Aid from Cornwall, a.k.a. Lord Thomas Smutty Wesley. I'm more alarmed that his parents let him call a pet Smutty. Is it like Smudgy and something? Like that? Smutty. No, you can't call it that, Aid. I want to call it Smutty. OK. Susie in Guildford, a.k.a. Oh, this is a good one. Lady Dorothy Razzmatazz Bridge. That's brilliant. Hannah on the M1. You win. It's not rubbish. It's amazing. Please be upstanding for Lady Gilbert Butterscotch Fiddlers. That is a little bit like an occupation off of the olden days, isn't it? I'm a butterscotch fiddler, notorious around the East End. SJ from Hedge End, a.k.a. Lady Joan Gingerbits Cranberry. I'm still laughing at Dorothy Razzmatazz Bridge. Love it. Let's go for now to newsbeat for Dame Julie Povmazomda and her name, which is...
My name is Lady Maya Brains Wycliffe.
That's very nice. What pet did you call Brains?
Goldfish with a big boggly brain.
Oh, bless. That's a very ironic name for a goldfish because they're a bit daft, aren't they, Moss? Lady Rita Bacardi Rose Barn Charlotte working in Devon. Oh, no, a.k.a. Charlotte, I imagine, working in Devon. Lady Rita Bacardi Rose Barn. Mm. So they call their pet Bacardi. Which
sounds quite posh.
Are you sure?
Wouldn't you say the whole name?
Yeah, but calling your pet Bacardi isn't posh. It's alcoholic. That's what it is, love. Mind you, you do get dogs called Whiskey, but I think it's a bit... Bacardi gin and whiskey, get in. Benson, Hedges, come on, time for your wee-wee. You know, it might be like that. Anyway, Charlotte, thank you, my darling. Radio 1 Podcast.
You still like to make the face cannon kick it? The face cannon kick it.
Pardon?
Do you still like to do Do you still like? I know that you used.
Pardon? I say, what was that old chap?
The really, bass. It's funny because it really wasn't like that rude a question. It was really genuine. But like, your response has made it sound like the greatest innuendo of the day.
We're
what about you, Sarah? Do you still like to let the bass cannon kick it?
Well,
I beg your pardon.
It's been a while, Zane. Although every time I see you, I get a right flux in my pavilion. Is that right? Is
that Sarah Cox, ladies and gentlemen, amazing ability to twist and turn only the most simple phrases into the most filthiest. Fantastic.
I didn't mean to.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.